Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's weekly weather, and happy Easter for those of you celebrating the Easter holidays, and happy Passover for those of you celebrating the Passover holidays, and happy spring for those of you who don't celebrate either one but are enjoying this wonderful, wonderful weather that feels very spring-like here in the upper northern hemisphere of the world. This is the weekly weather for April. That's a wishful thinking, isn't it? April 20th, 2014. And I'm Ann Ortley, and I'm broadcasting from my bright red desk on a beautiful Sunday. And I went to a lovely Easter vigil last night at St. Ignatius Loyola, my favorite church in, well, one of my favorite churches in Manhattan. I have a few of them, but it's the Jesuits. They know how to do it right. And my friend Katia got confirmed. So it was lovely to see her receive her confirmation and to go out and hang out and play at the diner until 2 in the morning. Got home late last night. Those Easter vigils are long, though. We didn't get out of the vigil until about 11:30. So if you've never been to an Easter vigil, I recommend you do one before you pass, because it's a very cool, very cool thing to do. You watch, it's very cool. Just leave it at that. Go to an Easter vigil. They happen on Saturday nights. And so this week, we have an interesting week ahead of us, quite a lot going on. Actually, last week was the eclipse and the Pluto station and the Jupiter squaring stuff and the Mercury squaring things. So a lot of information to be had, a lot of ideas, a lot of transitions and changes, a lot of people killing themselves again. These are very, very intense energies. Please don't kill yourself. Stay around and see how this show turns out. Stay, you know, find out how the plot ends. You know, don't go ending it cliffhanger and you leave before the book's over. Stay. So watching that energy, you know, there was a man who was actually wrote an excellent book called Crossing the Rubicon. He's a former police officer in L.A., recruited by the CIA and realized back in the 80s the CIA were doing drug running, selling drugs here in our country. Who knew the CIA would do something like that? And he's done a lot of work on exposing some of the more darker shadows of the United States and the United States government. And he killed himself this week, which is a big loss, Michael Rupert. And there is an exhaustion energy. There is a sense of, gee, I am completely wiped out and very, very tired. If that's the case, just go to bed. You know, go to bed. Take care of yourself. This week is going to be very intense, too. Really big week. And it is a big departure week for people that are just ill, you know, that are not feeling well physically, for them to take off, because the energy is very intense. And this week, the Cardinal Cross perfects. We have a couple of aspects that we're going to watch. We're following along with, and as the cross forms in the sky and finishes, it amps up. Now remember, Mars is going backwards. Okay, so we have a couple things going. Last week, Mercury went through the cross. There was the eclipse, which illuminated things and helped us see things. We're still in eclipse season, so it's highly tense, highly emotional, very vibratory, because Uranus is part of the Cardinal Cross. A lot of people are having anxiety attacks, or having episodes feeling like they're very, very wired. A lot of power struggle energy. A lot of people yelling, fighting, screaming, because there's fire in the sky. A lot of fire in the sky. Today, the sun goes into Taurus, so it's going to calm down a little bit because the egos aren't going to be quite so hot, but because Taurus calms everything down, answering to nice, sensitive Venus and Pisces. But until this week, and next week we still have quite a bit of wild energy, I guess, for the best way to describe it. Now, this is the energy of evolution, and we don't get this very often. The last time we had this was 50 years ago, Uranus and Pluto together, and that was the 60s. And right now, for those of you who didn't get to live through the 60s, this is your opportunity to know what it feels like or what it felt like. This is the fifth of seven squares that we're having this week. And we're having that on the 21st, on Monday. Uranus is going to square Pluto for the fifth of seven times. And we have two more to go. We've already had four. And this time Uranus wins because he's going direct, and Pluto loses because he's going retrograde. That means power loses. Power never loses easily. All right? Likes to take something with it when you're trying to get rid of it. And Uranus, of course, the freedom principle, the breaking free, the following up on its own thing, the transformation. So the Uranus square to Pluto, Uranus wins this week. So it's going to say evolve, change, chaos. So a lot of things will be separating, changing, shifting. It's an what's called an opening square, taking place at 13 degrees. If you have any planets at 13 degrees in your chart, waking those up. Bring it up when you were age 13, 13 and a half. That was a pivotal year for you. This is a pivotal week for you. And the idea is we're really learning how to change while maintaining control, or how to let go of trying to control things and allow change to happen. And sometimes that's a little hard. You know, it's sitting in the space of anticipation, waiting, but not really knowing how it's going to turn out. And I know me. I've got Pluto in the seventh. I read the ends of the books, you know. Like, I'm reading a mystery. Back when I used to read Stephen King or Dean Koontz a lot, I would, you know, curl up with a book for a weekend, and then I'd get about a third of the way through the book, and I'd need to know how it ended. I just needed to know. So I'd go to the back, and I'd read the back of the book to get the answer, how it's going to turn out. And then I could relax and read the book. Unfortunately, we can't go to the back of the book on this situation. There is a back of the book, but it hasn't maybe happened yet, or it hasn't been written yet, or, you know, it's coming, but it's Uranus-Pluto, so who knows how it's going to turn out. It's going to be a little twist, Uranus square Pluto. So that's this week, the twist in the book, the twist in the story, the kink, the thing that you go, oh, I didn't know about that. And it's the part that makes you go, oh. So in Michael Rupert's case, buy the book Crossing the Rubicon. Read the book. It's an excellent police documentation. He's a homicide detective and a narcotics detective. And you know those narcotics guys really know how to do things. And he documented a lot of information, that, you know, investigative reporter style police detective before he ate his gun this last week. So work with the energy of exposure and seeing things. You're in a square Pluto. That's part one. Then we go a little further into the week, and Mars is going backwards. Now, we know Mars is in Libra, going backwards, answering nicely to Venus in Pisces, so he's in a softer place. But what he's going to be doing, of course, because he's answering to Venus in Pisces, who's on Chiron, is he's going to be bringing up the wounds. So he's bringing up very old, old wounds that we have, very old emotional wounds. So I was talking to somebody today, and she just was crying. It was just very hard, just deep, 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 deep sadness, deep crying. Understand, people are feeling really emotional with this, very old things wanting to come out, wanting to be released, wanting to surface. Trust the process. Don't fight it. Don't jump off a building. Just sit there and cry. You're not going to die. But old things are releasing, old memories, old feelings. And so with Mars going retrograde, coming backwards, it's a memory time. It's an understanding that whatever's being evoked is very old. And in its oldness, it can feel very deep and very, very, very long inside of you. You know how like things go way down, really deep roots, really deep-rooted something kind of stirring around in there. Soak it. You know, remember how, like, when you soak things, they come off? Soak it. Take yourself out and get yourself some water. So on Tuesday, Mars squares Libra, or I'm sorry, Mars squares Jupiter, accelerating the energy. And then on Wednesday, Mars opposes Uranus, which is a fight, which is a struggle, which is a difficulty. And then on Wednesday, Mercury is going to leave Aries, where he's been, being very bratty, in his mercurial way, saying things that maybe aren't always the nicest. And he's going to go into Taurus. So then later in the day, Mars is going to square Pluto on the Wednesday. So we're going to have a lot of energy. Now, the Wednesday night, you know, Tuesday morning, you know, Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, rocking. Not going to sleep so good that night. So if you got stuff to do on Wednesday, give yourself to bed early because you're going to be running around with a lot of dreams or a lot of activity on Wednesday early morning, 3:09, 5:16 in the morning, 9:47 in the morning Eastern time, which, of course, is 6 in the morning for you Westerners, and 2 in the morning and midnight. So it's a lot of rocking and rolling. And, of course, that, you know, we are having Uranus-Pluto. This is very often an earthquake, so we'll watch for some earthquakes the beginning part of the week. Then the back part of the week, Venus trines Saturn, which is always lovely. Venus is in Pisces. She's going to trine Saturn in water, Pisces, in Scorpio. So this is a lot about creative, productive energies, right? So once the cardinal cross culminates, which is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, vibrating, then we get to know what it was for. At the end of the week, Mercury and the Sun are combust on the 25th. When Mercury and the Sun join together, it doesn't matter what the real answer is. We're going to find an answer, because Mercury combusts the Sun is very much about this is my truth. So the beginning of the week is going to be a lot about showing you things that you need to look at. Last week was too. And then the end of the week, when Mercury and the Sun join, first on the node of destiny, Mercury hits the node of destiny and delivers some information to you. Then he joins with the Sun. You're going to go, you know what? Right or wrong, this is what I'm doing. This is my vision, and I'm going to go do it. And Venus trine Saturn says, give it a push. Give it an all-out push at the end of the week for your dream. Just kind of push a little extra hard. Now, it is a balsamic moon, meaning we're getting towards the new moon, so there won't be a lot of energy in it. You'll be kind of tired. You'll be exhausted. You may actually feel like I need to just go to bed next weekend. But it is a lot about giving it the push of the dream, the push of the dream, just a little extra kick. And then Mercury sextiles Neptune on the 26th, on Saturday, which is a lot about verbalizing what your dream is. As Mercury comes to connect with Neptune, he's saying to Neptune, well, what do you really want? This is what you said you wanted. Now I'm going to go do it. And remember, we're in springtime. We're having a springtime transit. Sun is going into Taurus. Spring is going to really bloom in our lives. So our job is to really just be aware of what it is we're planting. Be just really careful this week. You know, you're making commitments. You're making decisions. You're making ideas. You're letting things go, all of which is necessary for us to see the other side of where we're going. But when we're in this moment, when it's not firm, when everything is so in flux, the energy is super volatile, super fast. So, and eclipses always make us feel like we have to do something. You don't have to do anything. You just have to watch it. You have to pay attention to it. You have to understand what it's trying to evoke. It's trying to clear something really old and release it so that you're free to go forward, so that you're free to create the next chapter, so that you're free to do the next bit of work you're supposed to do. Then when we get to the 27th, the Sun comes to aspect Neptune, again, talking to the dream. And then 2 days later, next week, the 29th, not this week, but the week after, we have a new moon eclipse in Taurus, planting seeds for the next 2.5 years, as well as the next major, major growth cycle. So this next chunk of time, when I sat down and looked at the seven Uranus-Pluto squares that are taking place over the 4 years that they're doing it, this was the one that, you know, that drew my eye, because this is the hard one. This is the one where we really have to make the change, you know. So it was interesting. You know, I went to the Easter Vigil with my friend to see my friend Katya. You know, and a friend of mine wrote me and said, hi, you want to get together? I said, sure, I'm going to an Easter Vigil. You want to come? And Cecilia's the kind of person that goes, yes, sure. So she showed up, and we went to the Easter Vigil because, you know, Cecilia and I have adventures together. And we were sitting talking about the consciousness of planting something, you know, and the ideas of what we plant in our lives and what that, how those things take seed. And one of the things Cecilia's into is being, she's kind of a earth girl, a gardener. And back when we were younger, and she lived in the Berkshires, she had this friend who had a chicken farm who grew chickens but took orders for them. And you would get the chicken, you would order the chicken, and then you would get it. But, it, you know, she raised them and then killed them and sent you the chicken. But they were completely land, they were the best chickens. They were really good. And Cecilia would come down with a bucket of chicken livers. And she and I would make chicken liver, chopped chicken livers. which were truly the best chicken livers I've ever had in my life, because they were freshly killed chickens that were free range, that had been loved and liked, and they were very happy little chickens, and the livers were phenomenal. And we were talking about the food and the food supply and understanding what the source of the food is and understanding the source of the nutrition in our bodies. And Cecilia and I have a lot of conversations about nutrition and how it works, and how we nurture ourselves really truly creates who we are, and how we start to nutrition, change our nutrition, helps us really understand, when we understand what we're, how we're nurturing ourselves, how we're caring for ourselves, how that then creates an enormous shift and change in our life. And she's one of the more aware people, you know, in my world. And so it was a really interesting conversation about the role of how we nurture. So I want you to really focus this week on how you nurture yourself, not on how you were nurtured, you know, because that's the past. You were, you know, mom was good, dad was bad, dad was bad, dad was good, mom was bad, your siblings were horrible, whatever it was, who knows what the story was. It's old. It's the old story. What we're looking at now is how you're nurturing yourself going forward. Uranus square Pluto. How are you going to change, Uranus, from Pluto, the power struggles that hold you back? And we were talking about slippage, you know, which is that old, like Anne's given up gluten, but every now and then she eats it, right? But when I don't eat it, I feel really good. When I do eat it, yeah, I feel kind of crappy, but I still eat it, right? But I'm sneaking it or working with it and understanding, what would it be like if you nurtured yourself? What would it be like if you changed it and you didn't slip and you didn't go backwards? And what the backwards represents? Because very often with Uranus square Pluto, there's a part of us that's going to want to hold on to the old because it's familiar, because we know it, because it feels safe. It feels familiar. And we like the familiar. And the change is hard. It's really hard to give it your all, to say, okay, I am committing to change. So what happens this week is you're going to be made conscious of an area of your life that you have to change in, that the universe is inviting you to change in. You don't have to change, actually, truth be told. You can stay exactly the way you are. That's completely fine. But there's an invitation coming this week about how to change, about where to change, about giving yourself permission to look at yourself in a different way, to look at your relationships in a different way, to look at your path of your life in a different way, to understand it from what it's given you to where it's going. What did you come from? What did you learn? Where are you going with the knowledge? And this is a really big turning point. I mean, it is not to be minimized. You know, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, the astrologer you talk to will be saying to you, what did you do in April of 2014 on that amazing eclipse and that incredible turning point that was in your life? How did you handle it? What did you create? What was your commitment? What was your dedication? How did you rededicate yourself? And as that new moon happens next week on the 29th, this week is when we're really getting clear. This is the week when we come home from the gardening store with what we're going to plant. This is the week when we actually go, okay, this is what I'm putting in the ground. This is my vision. This is my dream. This is my me. This is my next me. Nurture it. Really focus on nurturing it. Do not be destructive. Do not judge it. Do not give it a hard time. Do not give yourself a hard time. Do not give other people a hard time. Everybody's a bit of a mess right now. It's right where we're supposed to be, because what we're doing is we're understanding how we're getting to the next place. So when I was listening to this client cry today, and then she was talking about always not being chosen, right? Not being chosen. And it's like, right, that's the core wound. You weren't chosen. You weren't. What are you going to do about it? What's the change? You weren't this. You weren't that. Right. What are you going to do about it? You going to let that be the defining message of your life, or are you going to take it and turn it into something more positive? You're going to take it in and go, you know, I wasn't chosen, but what that led me to was, what, rather than sitting in the wounded place. Sit in the understanding of what the wounding gave you, because it gave you something really important. It also gave you a really deep wish. And the wish is what we want to watch. The wish is the thing that can catch us up. So it's a good week to double down on therapy. It's a good week to double down on journaling. It's a good week to sit down and just take time for yourself and say, okay, what is the really deep wish? What is it that I'm trying to, what is my dream? What is my wish for myself? What do I want? Right? And don't give any extra energy to the negative vision of the wish. Give only energy to the positive vision of the wish. The positive part. The part that inspires, invites, includes, expands, supports, enhances, helps, loves, creates. Send energy there. That's the energy of evolution that you want to attend to, not the energy. And if you send attention to that, I mean, it is hard, but if you send attention to that, that energy will allow the evolution to take place in a much less painful method than it can, because you're supporting and loving it into being, as opposed to feeling like you've lost something or that something's missing. Allow the consciousness to come. Encourage it. And if you do that, you'll be surprised how profound it is. So this week, the sun goes from 1 Taurus to 7 Taurus, meets up with Mercury on the 25th, makes us believe our own story. That's why I want you really focusing on what you believe. And I want you believing the higher vision of it. Venus in Pisces, exalted. Okay, the higher vision of the story. This happened for a reason. Your soul chose this path. Who the hell knows what you were doing in line? But you're on the path. You're on your dream. Sun sextiles Neptune, invites us to dream. Mercury, very busy this week. 25 Aries all the way to 9 Taurus. And he aspects the nodes of fate twice. Releasing old ideas, inviting in new ways of partnering. He goes into Taurus. He wants to be firm. He does not necessarily like Taurus. But with Taurus, the whole thing with Mercury is it's if you think you can, you're right. And if you think you can't, you're right. So I want you thinking you can. I want you figuring out how to rather than how not to. Focus on the how to. He's a busy guy. He does talk to Neptune. He talks to a whole bunch of planets. But the most important thing is to recognize that Mercury wants to partner with you in a new way. He wants to work with you on a different level to work with your dream. And recognize the dream comes from those early wounds. That's where it comes from. That's how it gets seeded. So we have to honor the wounding, because that helps us see the dream, which helps us see what we're actually supposed to do, because our work comes from the area that we are working with our Saturn in. Our Saturn is our earliest understanding of our limitation and our shame. A lot of times when people review their lives, they go back and they remember the shameful moments. I want you to think of the shame, go back and think of some of your shameful moments and understand how those are actually your the source of the drive in your life. They're the source of you understanding how to be, how to indulge, how to embrace, how to be passionate about your desire. And I speak from whence I know. I've got Venus conjunct Saturn. My passions used to get me in trouble. Venus joined to Saturn. And they were shamed very much. They were, that's bad. Not supposed to have that passion. But Venus is our desire nature, so we have to listen to her, because our desires lead us to what we want. They help our soul evolve. You have to listen to the passions. You have to follow them and not be ashamed of them. To love the passions, to love the desire, to love the deep need, to love the deep wish. That's how we get what we want. Venus, 17 Pisces through 24 Pisces. She's moving pretty fast, but she's also working with the creative energy. And she's also working with the biquintile to the North Node, and she's working with the trine to Saturn. So she's going to talk to you about how if you partner with the area that you're ashamed about, you're actually going to get what you want. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but think about it. Just go think about the shame. Pull up some big shameful episode from your life. And then think about how it actually is your life story. I know, it a little weird, but try it. Just do it. You know, you're ashamed about this, but that actually is your biggest gift. That's the most important part of your life. And in some way, shape, or form, you're working with it. You might still be a little ashamed of the other part, but you're working with the deeper understanding of it. When it's a very deep wish, we have to honor. The depth of it comes from a very deep place. It comes from our Saturn. Mars this week, very active, but he's going backwards. He's in Libra. He's in an air sign. He's going to be talking to you. He's going to be communicating with you. He's going to be asking you to figure out stuff. He's going to be squaring Jupiter. He's going to be contra-parallel series. He's going to be opposite Mars. He's going to be square Pluto. He's going to be biquintile Neptune. He's going to be sesquiquadrated Medos. The endings, the understanding of how the endings shape us. Then Uranus square Pluto, of course, the evolutionary pulse. We also have Pallas Athena aspecting the nodes, seeing the patterns on a new level, Juno aspecting the nodes, partnering in a new level, partnering with ourselves in a positive feeling. And Juno enters Taurus, so she wants to ground. She enters Taurus on the 26th. She wants to ground. She wants to build. She wants to make it real. And Neptune, of course, is contra-parallel Pallas Athena. Understand the patterns of your life, how they represent the dreams. The patterns that we follow get us to the dream. Support that. Nurture that. Care for that. Appreciate it. Merk the moon. The weeks go so fast. Okay, so the moon this week is going to be going through Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, and Aries. So we're at the back end of the zodiac. The group, the collective, your understanding of how your chart fits into the collective experience. And then it goes into Aries, which is the me, myself, and I next weekend. So the moon in Cap on Monday goes void at 7:21 with a square to Mercury. The aha moment, moon in Capricorn is a hard moon. It helps us understand our limitations. Moon goes into Aquarius on Tuesday morning at 12:18 in the morning, and it's in Aquarius through Thursday morning early, but it goes void at 12:10 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday. Goes void with a square to Saturn. Again, letting go, no, you're not getting it, no, no, no. Very no-no week. Beginning of the week's no-no. Then it goes into void Wednesday afternoon, early evening. Goes into Pisces on Thursday. It's in Pisces on Thursday and Friday. And Friday night, but it goes void at 4:03 with a conjunction to Venus. Moon in Pisces joins Venus in Pisces. So Thursday and Friday, lovely, lovely, huggy, huggy, kissy, kissy, happy, happy. Of course, we're through the friggin' T-square, and the thing starts to separate. So we're all going to feel a little better. And then Moon goes into Aries bright and early Saturday morning, and it's Aries on Saturday, and it's void all day Sunday the 27th. And it goes void with a square to Jupiter. So we're going to feel so much better Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The beginning of the week, hellacious, horrible, awful, yuck, yuck. End of the week, fab. Pisces moon, Aries moon, and conquering moons. Very strong, very positive energy. And then we go into the new moon eclipse on Tuesday, the 29th. And that new moon eclipse is in Taurus, 8 degrees. And the closing aspect for it, of course, is a sextile to Venus. So the back end of the week, when we're in the balsamic phase, the stuff that you're letting go of this week is all about the freedom for the new creation that comes with the new moon in Taurus. So just take these eclipses as really rocking your world to help you see, to help you understand where you're changing, where you're evolving, and then based on all that evolution, where you're going to plant yourself and grow. I really want you positively focusing on understanding how the story of your life has contributed to who you are, and then using that as a foundation to say, okay, this story is me. The area I'm ashamed of, humiliated by, hated, that actually is my greatest gift. What the hell is she smoking? Think about it. Focus. Spend a little time on it. You'll be surprised how it reflects into the greatest gift. And then it allows you to commit to yourself. That's what it's all about, committing to yourself. And that's what we're doing this week. We're committing to ourselves. We're committing to our own evolutionary path. So hang on there. Don't let go. Enjoy yourself. And really allow the cardinal cross to dance through your chart. Allow the eclipse to bring consciousness. This is Ann Ortley, signing off. Wishing you a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.